Good afternoon. Today is September 22nd, 2022. It's approximately 1 p.m. in the afternoon. This is the matter of the application Z0256.
Carl, it's October 12th.
I'm so sorry. I pulled up my original form on this. Thank you. Today is October 12th, 2022. I mindlessly read what I had in my notes, so I apologize for that. This is the matter of the land use file Z0256-22. It's a condition application for a conditional use permit to for a home occupation in property within Clackamas County by Chelsea and Dale Warner. My name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed by the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners as hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. As you may have noted, today is not September 22nd. This file originally was set for hearing on September 22nd. That hearing was started but continued to this date. So today is October 12th. I have a couple of important things. Land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in this hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to this decision. Accordingly, please direct your testimony to a relevant approval criterion. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues related to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. Further, I will state for the record that I've not received any ex parte contact in this matter, which means that no one contacted me outside of these proceedings to try to persuade me concerning a fact or issue present in this matter. What I have received are publicly submitted documents that were available in a packet that was posted on the county's website. There are exhibits that I had an opportunity to download and review, and a staff report, the original application, and other similar related documents, all available to everyone who wanted to view them. I have also considered issues of bias and conflict of interest, and I've determined that I do not have any bias or conflict of interest in this matter. With that, I'm going to ask that the county provide an explanation at this time concerning participation in this hearing via the Zoom platform.
Thank you, Carl. Melissa Lorb with Clackamas County Planning and Zoning. This public hearing is conducted using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their microphones muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website later today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature. For attendees on a PC or an iPad, you will have a raise hand button on the Zoom bar, either at the top or the bottom of your screen, depending on your device. When the moderator switches you over to provide your testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who's speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide your testimony. Be sure to state your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your microphone will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, you can email your written testimony to myself, Melissa Lord, at mlord@clackamas.us, or you can mail it to the Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division at 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, Oregon 97045. My email address is available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day that the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address by email to the staff contact, myself, or by entering it in the Zoom chat function during this hearing.
Thank you. And prior to the end of this hearing, or I will provide an opportunity for the parties or members of the audience to request an opportunity to provide additional evidence, arguments, written testimony. And so I'll make that offer before I close the record. The order of proceedings today will be that I will ask the county to begin the hearing by presenting the staff report, evidence and analysis that the staff want me to consider in making a determination. I will provide a similar opportunity to the applicant. Then I will provide an opportunity for members of the public to provide testimony, including comments or submission of evidence for my consideration. I may provide a rebuttal period as well. Please proceed.
Great, thank you. I'll go ahead and share my screen. And you are all looking at my PowerPoint presentation?
Yes.
Okay, great. So my email address is written up on the screen here just once more, as well as the mailing address for the Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division. In case you do wish to receive submit written testimony if the record's left open. So today we are in the continued hearing for the conditional use permit for a home occupation to host events. I'll give a brief background of the property and the application itself. So the subject property is located at 20188 South Butte Road, which is generally between Ridge Road and Jewel Road, off of Butte Road on the south side of the road. The property is 40 acres in size and is zoned Ag Forest, which is a natural resource zone. The applicants are proposing to host events for up to 100 guests and a maximum of 24 times per year. The events will take place in a proposed 2,000 square foot open air structure, as well as we'll be utilizing a 600 square foot accessory structure as well. The applicants have proposed a gravel parking area, which would accommodate up to 39 parking spaces. The two proposed buildings that would host the events include a 30-foot fire fuel break buffer area where vegetation would be limited to 24 inches in height, as well as complying with the zoning and development ordinance standard for distance of any trees or other vegetation within this fuel break area. There is a approximately 600 square foot potting shed that would include permanent restroom facilities. And the proposed open-sided, open-air covered structure has a possibility of including permanent restroom, but otherwise would have no other rooms in the structure. Now, what I would like to do is touch briefly upon some of the review criteria. I won't go through all of it, but I would like to take some time today to talk about specific criteria that at the time of the initial application and the initial staff report that I wrote, I had found that there were some deficiencies in the application materials submitted.
Let me interrupt for just a moment.
Sure.
But first, are you going to put this, your PowerPoint presentation in the exhibit as an exhibit?
Yes, thank you. Thanks. This will be entered as exhibit 19.
Thank you.
After the close of this presentation.
By 4 o'clock?
Yes,
by thank 4 o'clock you. Today, perfect. Yeah. And I have some questions about type of buildings, portable restrooms, and the staff analysis with respect to these two buildings. Do you want me to ask you the questions or the applicant?
That's up to you. I'm happy to field any questions, and I can always defer to the applicant if I feel that it might be better answered by them, but it's up to you.
Why don't you finish your presentation, then okay. I'll circle back with those questions.
Okay, sounds great. I just wanted to touch on these few standards briefly because they have been modified slightly with the more recent updates and changes that were made by the applicant, which have been entered into the record as, let's see, exhibits 10, 13, and 16 have included some more recent changes. That my updated recommendation for this application, which is in the record as exhibit 16, reflect. So the first being the type of building. So the applicant modified their application from having one large structure to having two structures. Both of the structures staff has found to be normally associated with uses that would be permitted in the ag forest zone. We often see or typically see buildings that don't have walls. So for example, the open air structure in the zone for uses that could include storage of hay or storage of trucks or tractors associated with uses that would be allowed in the ag forest zone. Similarly, the proposed potting shed, the 600 square foot potting shed with restrooms, it is typical for the county to approve accessory structures with restrooms, with change rooms in the ag forest zone. So those types of buildings staff did find to be normally associated with uses in the ag forest zone. The portable restrooms, Carl, did you have a question? The portable restrooms, initially staff, the application materials said that there were going to be restrooms, but there was no information in the application itself showing where they would be or how they would meet the criteria. So the standard says that the portable restroom needs to be at least 50 feet from a property line. With the updated application material and the updated site plan that the applicant submitted, they do show the location of proposed portable restrooms, and it does verify that the standard is being met. The temporary signs, similar to the portable restrooms, the application materials initially referenced that there would be a sign, but didn't provide sufficient information in the site plan or application materials identifying how they would be compliant with the standards, and that additional information was submitted with the updated application materials from our last, from the initial hearing. And so again, there was enough evidence for staff to find that this criterion is being met. The CDO section 406 standards, the impacts test and the fire siting standards, I'll address those together. The applicant updated their plans to provide a gravel parking area rather than the initially proposed grass and wood chipped parking area to address some fire concerns and to help decrease any risk of fire associated with that parking area. In addition, the site plan clearly shows that the fire siting standards of section 406 and creating the fuel-free break areas can be met and will be met. So staff is finding that, provided that there's a condition of approval ensuring long-term maintenance of this fire siting standard, that this these criteria can be met. Lastly, I'll touch on noise. The applicant submitted additional information to the record with noise audio testing that they had completed on and around the property, providing a noise source at, I believe, 80 decibels on the property and having test points surrounding the property, identifying what the volume or sound transmission at the property line would be. And that that additional evidence of the noise test that they conducted does show compliance with the standard, and that the noise decibel amount would be compliant with the standard of section 80602. And so with that, that concludes my presentation, but Carl, I'm happy to answer some questions from you.
Okay. So, and let me, I'm looking at the updated exhibits. Yeah. And I have it, and I'm looking at a couple of things here with respect primarily to do with the two proposed buildings. First, the detail that was provided on the shed, the potting shed. So let's talk about bathrooms first. So generally, in my experience, people who put a bathroom in a residential property like this, this is an agricultural farm forest zone, and sure, but the primary use on the property is residential. It's got a dwelling on it. That's the use of the property. So we have two things. You still have a primary use of agriculture or farm forest kind of stuff, and then you have a primary residential use. So buildings that are built on this property could be associated with either type of use, primary use. So accessory to the residential use, the dwelling on the property, or accessory to the primary, a primary other use, identified use on the property, like some farm or forest use that could be taking place. Okay. Bathrooms that are, that people put in these type of accessory structures for their own use, say it's a detached garage, or someone has a hobby shed or a garage like that, or a pole barn or building of some nature, usually have a bathroom. If someone wants it, they put it inside the building. These are different. The drawings that I'm looking at are four bathrooms opening to the exterior. And to me, it's the type of accessory structure that I find in a public park or in a campground, where it's open to members of the public or invitees. It's not something that I would associate generally with residential use of a property, or with farm forest use of a property, or agriculture use of a property. Typically I see porta potties with agricultural use, or with respect to residential use, I might see, like I said, a bathroom that's built for their personal use within an enclosed structure. So maybe it's an artist studio and that they want to have, but they don't put the bathroom on the outside. Do you see what I mean? I'm not familiar with that. So I don't see where there's evidence that supports that finding. Do you see what I'm saying there? Secondly, let's talk about the proposed structure itself. Again, I have a very similar concern with it. When I look at the depiction provided in the application, I'm looking at a pavilion. It looks really nice, and it does, but it looks to me unlike anything that I would expect to see someone at their home. It looks like something I would find in a public park or campground, a pavilion for uses for picnicking or something like that. I'm not familiar with this type of use of agricultural property or associated with a primary residential use. And unless there's some evidence in the record to support that finding, then I just don't see how this is associated with that, those type of primary uses. What I would look for, you know, people build all kinds of things to support or be accessory to their use of a property. People build horse barns or they build hobby sheds, like I said, or artist studios. I can't see the horse barn or barn here. I just see a pavilion. So I'd want to know, you know, how that fits. And maybe that's a question more for the applicant, but those are my concerns. The two things. One is the bathrooms that are exterior to a building, which I can't think of a single example of someone who has built something like this for their, you know, that's accessory to residential use on property. And the idea here is that if I were to approve the home occupation, the conditional use of the property, the conditional use permit for this home occupation, it still doesn't, that approval doesn't allow for construction of a building that wouldn't normally be associated with the residential use of the property. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I can, maybe I can respond to one of the questions, the second one related to the design of the building, and then Jamie or Dale, Chelsea, if you guys want to jump in and respond to Carl's questions and concerns regarding both of those after. I would just point out that the ZDO, the Zoning and Development Ordinance, and certainly Section 406 doesn't have design standards associated with accessory structures, either accessory to residential or accessory to farm farm and agricultural uses. So while the building may look similar to a different style, we don't regulate, the code doesn't regulate the actual style, material, roof type, et cetera, of accessory structures. So
you're absolutely right. So I wouldn't look at it and say, oh, that doesn't meet the design standard for a barn that I'm familiar with. You're right. But what I would look is, what I'm asking is, I just don't see the barn inside the picture, if you will. Sure. If it had, so I believe I read in this application that it could have farm equipment placed inside it, or it could have hay inside it or something like that. And I'm looking at it and I still just don't see a place which is set up for, stacking of hay or a tractor or something like that. It looks to me like a picnic shelter still. And so I need a little help getting to where I can see the barn hidden inside these details, because I just don't. Likewise, with respect to the restroom, I don't see a normally associated with residential use of this property building. I see a public restroom with four stalls ready for people to walk up and use. I see, just like I would see in a park, where it has probably a switch that says if it's occupied, is what it looks like to me from the outside. And so I'm just not familiar with that type of a structure being normally associated with residential or agricultural farm uses on a property like with this zoning. So I'm looking for a little help seeing those details. Perhaps now we'll have the applicant address those questions. And you're muted.
There we go. Okay. Sorry, I'm not very familiar with Zoom. And this is my first time ever applying for a conditional use permit. And so bear with us here. So I guess starting as for the picture that we provided, that was actually from a park, and it is just a picture that is kind of an idea. And we do actually plan to park our tractor and things in off season in the building. And with it kind of being where we are, I guess as I've been through this process, I'm kind of realizing a lot of people, when they're maybe applying for a conditional use permit, already have the buildings. In our situation, I believe that we are providing the buildings as we make them, and we want them to be pretty. but Then also as the far as the bathrooms having doors to the outside, we have had people like fishing in our pond before, where I guess, you know, and it just to us seemed like it would be easier to have if you were, you know, being muddy out and about, not to have to go into the building. But that was also an open-ended thing. If somebody were to request that a bathroom have the door on the inside, and that maybe two bathrooms was more of a thing. I also ride my horse around the property, and we foster horses. So if I was to be out and about, which is quite a ways from actually where our house is, and I was going to use the bathroom, there's a lot of mud associated with the property, and it just kind of makes more sense to not trudge your mudge through the whole thing, but that's open for interpretation.
So let's talk about that. So you own horses, you ride horses. Can you provide an example of an arena that you go to, or a neighbor's horse property that you go to where they have bathrooms that are outside? I've been to barns, but I'm certainly no expert with equestrian facilities, but I've been on occasion. I've taken them. And I find a horse barn or arena still will have bathrooms inside the barn. My experience isn't that.
I've seen all sorts of things, I suppose. A lot of times there are a porta potty, which would be outside. Some bathrooms that I've been in barns are like plumbed bathrooms that are inside, like next to the stalls and whatnot inside the barn.
It'll oftentimes be a dirt floor. You walk through the dirt floor, and then there's a bathroom. It'll actually be oftentimes a hallway of dirt, but on the sides will be built, and you'll open a door to a bathroom, and it's an actual bathroom with a floor and the whole, very common.
I like, and so I guess I was thinking outside the box by having it on the outside. It seems like it would be nice to me.
The only thing that I know is, since you say horse in the same sentence as bathroom, it's going to be twice as expensive because horses just add up.
It is true. It's a very expensive habit. So I guess that that is also that building, it is a potting. It would be I would consider a potting shed. We're starting up to build or grow dahlias and peonies, and like the dahlia tubers you pull out. And so I wanted a specified area for all of the gardening things to all live in. So that is also what that would be.
You don't want them
to
get moldy or wet, because then they'll, you know, they'll go bad. So,
and we actually went back and forth with the idea of the doors on the bathrooms, to be honest, since that, like, does it make more sense to have doors from the inside or the outside? So that is something, like, if that is weird and it would make people uneasy with the idea, I'm open to either way, but it just seemed like it's kind of a nice idea to have the door on the outside, so you don't have to tread your mud through if you're just using the bathroom.
Okay. Let me be clear about it. And you can request an opportunity to keep the record open to submit evidence in support of this. I'm saying that I'm not familiar with any type of similar use that has bathroom doors on the exterior.
Okay.
That is normally associated with your residential use of the property or with agriculture, farm, forest. I'm happy to consider things that are submitted, but it's not within my personal experience.
Okay.
And I just don't know of anything that would be normally associated. It looks like that. It looks like, it still looks to me like a public restroom at a county park or something of that nature. And when you put exterior, especially a whole bank of them the way you did, four restroom doors opening to the outside, I think public park. Let's talk also about your covered area. I understand that this is literally was a picture of a county park pavilion or something similar that you took to just show an example. The issue that I have here, if you envision a horse barn, you would have side walls and probably a back wall. Maybe it would be open all the way through it, but it would have an area for stalls. If it's for hay or something of that nature, it's going to be taller than this, and to allow for things to be brought in. Same with feed or something like that. And I just wouldn't expect it to to be this nice, flat, you know, this, it's beautiful, but it's, again, it looks to me like a county pavilion. If you can provide examples of something, and I'm not saying it has to be built exactly like a inexpensive steel pole barn. I'm saying provide some examples to show what else it could be. You know, show me the barn hidden here in this, in the details, or something that I can approve. What I'm considering also would be, you know, just here, and I just want to be clear that nothing in, if I approve this application, nothing in my approval is going to, you know, provide approval for buildings not normally associated with your residential use or your, or the zoning, you know, approved primary uses of your property. Do you see what I mean? So, yeah. And think of it also like this, that a subsequent purchaser of your property, and I know you probably plan to live here forever, but think in terms of a potential buyer, you know, what would they drive up to the property and look at this and say, you know, what is that? You see what I mean? You know, people who purchase a residential zone property, or excuse me, ag forest zone property with residential use, are looking at something like this and going, what's that? Okay, so let's look for some evidence or something that makes this normally associated with these types of primary uses.
Okay.
Did you have something further that you wanted me to consider here? I think other than that, you're pretty much in agreement with the county's analysis.
Right. Jamie, do you have anything to add? Jamie's been helping us with everything, and I don't know if he has thoughts on it.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, Jamie Powers, Powers Construction Consulting, and I'm the one that designed the details that we're looking at here. And I'd just like to add that the on there we put a minimum of 2 bathrooms and a maximum of 4 bathrooms. And the exact size shape was kind of to be determined. And we've had conversation with the building, one of the people in the building department, that there would have to be a minimum of 1 male, 1 female bathroom in that building. So we'd like to do minimum 2, maximum of 4.
Okay. So you're talking about your shed first. Let's call it the shed.
Yes.
The Dahlia shed. Okay. So minimum 2 bathrooms, male, female. Okay.
Yeah. And there's also maybe a question on ADA accessibility too. So I think there's a way that we could make those bathrooms open to the inside and maybe possibly have it so it's, you know, the floor is probably not going to get muddied up or something. Maybe Chelsea, you can jump in here too, but I think there's a way that we can have those doors open to the inside, and that might give it the look that's going to be a building that's more associated to that zoning. And there was kind of the question mark on there on the bathrooms. We kind of did put a question mark, like the exact size, shape, and location is to be determined, because we didn't know the exact code of what is allowed, what's not allowed. So we have a lot of flexibility there. And we're starting to learn that we know exactly what the county is looking for now.
It's confusing. It is. This is a confusing thing, because as Ms. Lord said, you know, there's not a design review process in advance here. Yet I have a code that says not to approve buildings that are not normally associated, structures not normally associated with these type of uses, you know, the primary uses, the actual zoning on the property or the dwelling use of the property. So I have to consider this, and it is difficult. So I'm trying to give you some guidance on what I'm looking for here, which is buildings normally associated with the residential use of this private property wouldn't, in my experience, don't have bathroom doors going to the outside. They don't say men and women as you walk up, or have, you know, occupied little sliding features. They have barns that can be used for as barns for multiple purposes. Or they have other uses for them that are not just large picnic shelters. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I think the easiest solution here is just to have the bathroom so they open to the inside of the building.
Right.
If Dale and Chelsea are comfortable with that, that's an easy design change.
Yeah.
And I have a quick question if I could. One thing that I find to be a bit confusing is that there is going to be parameters we have to follow in order to be able to have a conditional use in order to like cover like safety standards and like ADA app standards. So to make those things be both a normal thing that would be on farm property and also, you know, following all parameters. Do you understand? So
sure.
How do we navigate both of those things since we are putting the building?
I can't really advise you on you know, how to fix your application, but really what I'm trying to do is say what I see is missing here, which is evidence to support a finding that this type of bathroom, the shed with exterior bathrooms is normally associated with your use of your property, or that this, let's call it a picnic shelter, would normally be associated with your, you know, actual primary use of your property.
Can we make the decision during this hearing to say that the bathrooms would be only accessible from the inside of the building?
I could put a condition of approval. Bathrooms only accessible from inside.
Okay. And I'd like to just to touch on the pole building and the picture that Chelsea provided me kind of looks like they saw that at a park, but Chelsea jump into here, but the actual building is going to be a pole barn building.
Okay.
With the back of the structure, actually, there's a small note on the design too, that the whole back end will be actually have an enclosed wall as well. So it's, when we call it an open building, I'd like to say it's 75% open.
It's a little vague. I think I did read where you said it would be 33% enclosed, but 75, it doesn't make a difference to me. So there'll be an enclosed barn area in the back, and then open like a carport in the front?
Yeah, it'll be open in the carport like a front so you could drive a tractor right in. And I imagine it's going to look more like a pole building with a metal roof on it. Don't want to look nice, of course, but I don't think it would look anything as fancy as what was shown in the park there. That was pretty elaborate, but that's just showing more that, hey, it's just an open building. But of course, I mean, I'm also involved in the cost of things too. And when I see a building like that, that's a very, very expensive building compared to a pole building is what's economical.
And so let's talk about some details. So the front uncovered carport area, if you will, are we talking about a concrete floor or dirt floor?
We're talking about concrete. Jump in, Chelsea, but I think we're talking about thick concrete floor that you could actually drive a tractor on, sweep out, hose off, mud. Yeah.
And it's all covered. It's all covered just with one wall, I guess, right? That's what we're getting at.
Yeah.
So you would have one exterior wall in the back, two short exterior walls on each side that do not extend the entire length of the building. And then you would have another exterior wall across the face of it that is under the covered area. Correct. So you actually, there are four walls that I hear described.
Let me describe that again. So,
sorry, let me jump in. While you do that, Jamie, I can share my screen and pull up exhibit 16, page 8, and maybe that will add some visual context to, I think, what you're trying to describe.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Yep.
Yep. I looked at this.
Okay, yeah. So where it says ADA walkway to parking, that would be the closed. That would be the closed side, and all other walls. And the clothes might wrap around just a little bit, but all other walls will be from there down will be completely open. From there downward, all that's open on the front. Yep.
Okay, and then where is the interior space where you? This is the, which building is this? This is the main building. It's 36 by 72, open side. Yep. And you have, this is the footprint of the building. Where's the interior enclosed portion?
So there's no enclosed portion. Is this all going to be open with the exception that back wall is going to be closed off?
Okay.
There is also, I want to make sure that this is clear. There is a roof over the entire building. It's okay. All a roof and pole barn style. Like they'd be 12 foot bays. Everything.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to describe it is a pole barn with one wall on it on the outside.
Exactly.
Pole barn with one wall.
Yeah. And a big opening there too, because we're going to have the ADA accessibility to from the event center to the parking area. So that will all be paved to meet the ADA standards.
All right. And no bathrooms.
No bathrooms inside. There is an option that if the county allows us to have a possibility outside bathroom, but that says only if it's permitted by the county.
Right. And again, it's the issue of outside bathrooms that are permanent structures. That in my experience, and unless someone can point me to some evidence that is counter to this, people that just have their residential, primary residential use of a property don't build standalone bathrooms outside. They build them inside something else. Like they have a horse, they have a horse barn, they put a bathroom in it. They have a they build cars, they put it inside their garage. You know, I just don't have any experience or evidence to support a finding that there is exterior standalone bathrooms like that open to the outside.
Yeah, and that was an option.
Certainly not a whole bank of them.
Okay, and that was just an option that if it was allowed in that zone, we wanted that as an option. So we weren't sure if that was permissible or not.
Let me restate again. I mean, if you put an enclosed area along the back of your pole barn, so essentially it has four walls in the back, but the front is like a giant carport, you could do something like that. And you could put an interior bathroom like that. But you could also use porta potties in accordance with county regulations. You could use your shed, your potting shed, the dahlia shed. Interior bathrooms could be provided there. Things that do not look out of place on this property.
Okay, so I say that we do no exterior bathrooms, Chelsea and Dale, and then if there's bathrooms added to the open barn area, that they would be enclosed,
okay.
And I think for ADA accessibility, it would be nice to have a bathroom down there to make it easy for accessibility. Otherwise, we could have a paved structure that goes to the potting shed for someone in a wheelchair to be able to use it.
As Ms. Lord stated, this is not a design review type of process, but I want to put some parameters in here that provide some guidance for what it means normally associated with typical these kind of uses. All right.
Perfect.
Okay. Anything else you want me to consider with respect to your application?
The only thing I'd like to add is I've read over some of the letters from the neighbors. Is this appropriate for me to respond to any of those letters?
Yes.
Okay. So my response would be to, there's really probably three things that are probably addressed in these letters. And one is roads, roadways. And I'd leave that strictly to the county and the engineering department about the roads and standards if we meet that criteria. So I'm not going to touch on the roads. But as far as the noise and the fire hazard, I would like to touch on that to say that I think we've exceeded the criteria for noise. The location of the event area has been very well surrounded by heavy trees. We've done testing. Everything shows that the noise is actually below the standards of the county. And as far as fire hazards, the Chelsea and Dale have decided to go exceed the county recommendations and do extra gravel parking lots just to make the neighbors feel more comfortable that, you know, someone I think mentioned that a car parked on a grass parking lot could be a fire hazard. And well, you know, we've all seen more fires lately. So I think doing a gravel parking lot would help ensure that that might not be a problem. So
I think that sounds great. And the comment there about catalytic converters is true. They, you know, we all felt great about reducing the emissions, but then we see the catalytic converters starting fires in these grassy areas. So I think gravel definitely exceeds the county standards, but should help alleviate some of your neighbors' concerns there. So,
and then one more point, I don't know if this is relative to this, but part of this procedure, if it's approved, will they'll widen the access road coming in off of Butte to 20 feet. It would allow a fire truck to be able to come down to the lake and fill up a tender. And during fires in that area, the lake has, I think, is between 3 to 5 million gallons of water that could be accessed by a fire truck. So it actually, by opening that up to a fire truck, I think it actually could help the community if there was ever a forest fire in that neighborhood, because there's no fire hydrants out there. There's no municipal water. That could be a big bonus to the community to have access to that lake in need of a fire.
It's a genuine concern in all the rural areas that are not served by fire hydrants. And there's just no real easy way to haul that and the needed water out to these remote areas. So.
Yeah, those are my comments.
So thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're definitely concerned about fires. You know, we're going to be the closest neighbor to this event space. You know what I mean? And we're not trying to do anything to, you know, bring down the value or make it so people don't desire to live out here as much. You know, it's actually, we're trying to like share this beautiful spot more along those lines.
Yeah. And with the fire concerns that people have, like, I just want everyone to understand, we were also evacuated and really do understand the fears of fire. We have, you know, livestock on our property. We're here helping the community if needed, and we're not trying to make the community crowded or unpleasant by any means. We want to bring only good. So
we also used to own a restaurant. So it's not like we're unfamiliar with like dealing with large groups of people. Like, you know, we have 50 plus employees, and, you know, we were doing, you know, somewhere in the right around like $5 million in sales a year, you know, so like
but we're not trying to do that here.
Yeah. We're not trying to do that here, but we understand how to navigate the herd, I guess is what I would say. But.
Well, thank you for your comments. I'd like to provide an opportunity for members of the general public to provide testimony or comments concerning this application. Okay.
My name's John Gates, and I live across the road from the proposed site. And, you know, if you read through this stuff, the neighbors in the area aren't favorable in their comments about this proposal. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not either, because it feels like, well, you know, you're saying you're not trying to make a business proposition as much as you are trying to make a destination for events. You know, it sounds fine, but I just get the feeling that my tranquility that this area provides for is going to be impacted negatively a bunch. And so in other words, I'm looking at your venture as being subsidized at the expense of my well-being and peace and quiet. That's why I moved here. And I think the others in the neighbors, from what you can see in their reports, you know, they'd be happy if you just withdrew your request. But if you, you know, because it doesn't look like you're trying to consider your neighbors. I mean, you may meet criteria and stuff, but you're not meeting what the neighbors are feeling. And I just wish you'd really, really consider what you're doing to this area.
Please direct your comments to me.
I wish that it would be considered what was potentially being done to this area. I mean, have all the letters, sir?
Yes, sir. I read yours as well. And I saw the signatures of yourself and a spouse and I think a daughter.
Yeah. Plus a bunch of others.
Plus a bunch of others, yes.
Yeah. So it's not like just me or just us, but, you know, it's the area. It's you're going to, I'm going to beat a dead horse here, but everything is in the letters. You know, they said you're going to increase traffic in the area. Increase traffic. Let's see. So it seems logical to, I don't want to say the word assume, but I will, is that more traffic is going to lead to more accidents. And this area, it's dark at night. There aren't street lights on the roads out here. People who are not familiar with this area are not, I don't know, are these going to be all alcohol-free events where there's not a possibility that somebody's leaving that property inebriated or impaired to some point where they might have problems negotiating the turns on these roads out here? But, you know, I appreciate the time, Sands, but I'm sure you can tell I'm not thrilled with the idea of what's being proposed because of what it does to me, my property, and the potential hazards that it all brings to everyone around here. So,
thank you. I did read your letter as well, and your testimony today will be considered. They track the written comments that you provided that were signed by the Moores and the Gates. And I did, as I stated, read and will consider all of those factors in making a decision here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there someone else that wanted to comment to provide different or additional testimony concerning the approval criteria here?
No, I think our letter sums it up as well as the other letters in opposition you received. So thank you for the
opportunity. I did receive it and you can be assured it'll be included in the decision that I make, and I will strongly consider all of the comments that I received.
Thank you.
Yes. I'm not going to provide additional rebuttal, but is there a request for additional time to submit materials to the record? What I'm asking is, does any party or member of the audience want an opportunity to provide additional evidence, arguments, or testimony? Does the applicant wish to waive the period for final written argument?
Jamie, I guess I'm going to turn to you on this because I'm not sure. I kind of feel that maybe we need to provide proof. I don't know, Jamie, if you can help advise.
I'm comfortable moving forward as long as we can stay the condition of use would have enclosed bathrooms and we'll meet the other criteria of the open barn buildings. I'm comfortable moving forward. If that is something that we need to submit to the county showing how the bathrooms will meet that criteria, we could submit that later. Otherwise, if it could be a condition
of approval.
Yeah, I'm completely fine with that.
All right. That's what I discussed on that.
Yep. We agree.
So is there any request then? No request then to keep the record open? I see a nod from Mr. Powers stating no.
No,
so I'm going to say that out loud so the record catches it.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Chelsea Dale, do you say no?
No.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Does the applicant wish to waive the period for final written argument?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So the record will close today at 4 p.m. I'm looking to the county to submit the PowerPoint that we discussed. And anything before I close the hearing? No?
Okay. All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That'll close the hearing. Thank you. And Ms. Lord, would you stay on a minute? I want to talk about just the process here.
Certainly, yeah.
Okay.